Gather round wizards, it's time to explore. A world full of magic, we're opening the door. With Dan and Jessica, we're here for the ride. On broomsticks and butterbeer, come along for the glide. Chapter by chapter, we're diving so deep through Hogwarts halls where the secrets creep. From the sorting hat to the wizarding fights, potions and spells and those magical nights. With our cups full of butterbeer, we analyze the lore, the friendships that blossom, the battles and more. Every word written we take with delight, bringing Harry's world back into the light. Broomsticks and butterbeer, let the magic flow. Join the discussion, there's so much to know. With Dan and Jessica, let your spirit fly. In the wizarding world, we'll always reply. From the Quidditch games to the dark magic's call, we'll take on each chapter, seeing how they enthrall. Hermione's wisdom, Ron's loyal fight, we'll discuss every twist, make the dark turn bright. With an open heart and a curious mind, we'll unlock the secrets that are waiting to find. So grab your broomstick and settle in tight, it's time for the journey we're starting tonight. Broomsticks and butterbeer, let the magic flow. Join the discussion, there's so much to know. With Dan and Jessica, let your spirit fly. In the wizarding world, we'll always reply.
Welcome back to Broomsticks and Butterbeer, episode number 165, on our way to 167.
Oh my gosh, that's going to be exciting. It's going to be a big
episode. It's going to be a big episode. Probably going to
have
epic. Some celebrity guests and maybe do some giveaways and stuff like that.
Yeah. If you can tell us how much you hate 6-7.
Yeah. If you're listening to this in 2030, you're like, what are you talking about? 6-7. It was a...
I don't understand.
It was a... it burned out like a phoenix.
No. Phoenix has come back. We don't want this to ever come back.
It's gonna come back in 10 years. It burned out like a dying star.
There you go.
It shone brightly. The 6-7 craze and burned out like a dying star. But we're recording this on Martin Luther King Day in 2026, so happy MLK Day for everybody that celebrates here in the United States. Last time we talked about Chapter 2 of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, and today we'll be moving on to Chapter 3. Let's recap Chapter 2 in memoriam very quickly.
You didn't say your name.
Oh, my name is Dan.
Yeah.
I know it's an animal.
Uh-huh. It is.
Llama.
No.
Dan Llama.
No.
You're Jessica Llama.
No.
Jessa Llama.
Jessa Llama? No, I'm not Jessa Llama.
Dan Rhino. That's me.
I'm Jessica Rhino.
I'm a Hufflepuff.
I'm Ravenclaw.
And we host a little podcast called Broomsticks and Butterbeer.
Yep.
And we're off to an amazingly smooth start in the first 60 seconds of this episode.
We got distracted. That never happened.
Yeah, that's odd for us.
It is
to not stick to the script and stay on point.
Wait. There's a script?
Yeah, but I just
is that what's on your paper?
No.
Oh. Because I don't have a paper.
These are copious notes.
Oh, yes.
I know you got it all in that steel trap up there in your brain. But me, I am a bit of a as you can tell by me stumbling and fumbling right now, my brain's a little bit of a mess at all times.
My brain's a mess too. I've read them more times than you. I think that's kind of the point. You've read them. You're reading it for the first time.
We were just talking about the other day how, like, when I talk to people, I just kind of get going and going and going and going and going, and then I just go off to another subject, and then we're on another subject, and all of a sudden we're talking about, like, the immigrant rights and
Daniel, that's called a conversation.
And vaccinations. Are conversations supposed to be that chaotic?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe I'm doing it right then.
I think you're doing it right.
Okay.
They're more fun when they're chaotic. when you go down some weird,
you should have a lot of fun. Tunnel. People would have a lot of fun talking with me then.
They do.
Because we go my brain goes every which way.
That's why people listen right now, because we're very entertaining.
Oh, that's one word for it.
Hilarious?
It's another.
Exciting?
I don't know. There's some people out there that gave us some subpar reviews on...
What?
Like Spotify. Like, not like...
I need names.
Not like written reviews.
I will take care of this.
But like, I was looking at like the star rating, you know, like out of five. And like our average star rating is like 3.5 out of 5.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Is it?
Well, it depends on who's rating it.
I was very disappointed that it wasn't like 5. Like a perfect score.
A perfect score.
Like I expect my Uber rating to be a 5 because I'm a delight.
Well, when I read a book, it starts at a 3. If it impresses me, you get to go up. If it doesn't, it goes down.
So,
like, just basically the fact that I read the book and finished it, 3 stars.
So if we're like a 3.5, that means we impress people a little bit.
A little bit. If they rate like me, if they rate like Jennifer, she just gives everything a 5.
Like, are you any good at podcasting? A little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit. Just a half a star. A half a star above average is what I would say. So, yeah, if you want to rate us and help us, you know, maybe get that up to like a 4, which is at least a B.
Yeah.
We'd appreciate that. Don't even have to leave a review. I mean, reviews are better. But if you just want to leave a star
just
rating,
click those stars.
We'd appreciate it. Yeah.
It's probably people who
Smash
don't like
those
dogs.
Star buttons.
People who don't like dogs.
Yeah.
And they don't want to hear our dogs in the background. Yeah. Sorry. We have dogs. And
yeah,
sometimes
there's
they play with their squeaky
there's
toys.
There's people that just don't like dogs.
I think that's
weird
people.
As that is for me to comprehend. There are people like that out there, like Anastasia.
Yeah.
Who's in the inner circle.
Nightwing loved her, though.
Wanted so bad to be a part of her world.
That's
I
want to
be
princess.
Where Anastasia is.
That's a different princess.
I want to see, I want to watch her sleeping.
Well, that's kind of creepy, Will.
He does. He likes to do that.
He just kept putting his head on her leg and was like, love me.
I'll wake up sometimes and he'll just be staring at me. Like, hey, watching you sleep.
We're probably making the anti-dog people mad now.
Oh, yeah, it's the Harry Potter podcast. We're several minutes into it. Should I recap chapter 2?
Yeah, that's probably best.
Chapter 2 was titled In Memoriam, and we have Harry reading a glowing obituary of Dumbledore written by Elpheus Doge in the Daily Prophet. Harry then reads a second article by Rita Skeeter that contradicts Doge's portrayal of Dumbledore. Rita Skeeter claims Dumbledore had a dark and troubling youth, including a close friendship with Gellert Grindelwald and radical ideas about wizarding dominance. She also raises disturbing questions about Dumbledore's relationship with his family, particularly his sister Ariana. And Harry realizes how little he truly knew about Dumbledore. And Harry wonders why Dumbledore shared so little of his personal history while placing so much responsibility on Harry. And Harry cut himself on the broken mirror, the last gift that Sirius had ever given him, which Harry took very good care of by just tossing in the bottom of a overcrowded 300-pound magical chest.
Yes.
Chapter 3 today is called The Dursleys' Departing, and this chapter is really going to focus on Harry's final interactions with the Dursley family.
This was short, right?
I thought so, but... And what I have in my notes here is that there was no magic.
No.
There was no action, but there was a lot of drama in this chapter. A lot of awkward situations, a lot of feelings being expressed that hadn't been expressed before. And I really liked this chapter. I thought it was very well written. But the moment is coming for the Dursleys to leave Privet Drive with some magical protection. And this all stems from the protection that was over the household, which I had kind of completely forgotten about. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about how that works, if you would, and why now is the time that the Dursleys need to get out of there.
Well, I don't think it's your fault that you completely forgot, because it just isn't really brought up until it's very tiny little slip-ins.
Yeah,
like,
very
Harry, make sure you go back to your house one last time.
Intermittent.
Do this one more time. Just make sure you go home one more time. It's there, but it's never really fully explained. Mm-hmm. So, but this chapter does kind of shed more light onto it, how it works, what it's got like an end date, expiration date on it. As long as he's living there with his quote unquote family, we'll do air quotes there because, but he's technically a blood relative. Until he turns 17, which makes him an adult in the magical world, or they all leave. If they leave and with no intention of returning, then that like breaks the magical protection spell too, because they said with the Dursleys packing up and leaving the premises and Harry leaving the premises, then everything's going to just crumble. They're not like waiting until his literal date of birth time, like, mm-hmm. Oh, he was born at 1201, he'll be 17,
yeah,
and now
trying to get ahead of the a little bit,
yeah. So but instead they know with them leaving, then that will break the protection spell as well.
And this was something that was put on the house way back in
the beginning,
right?
And like kind of tied to the fact that his mom sacrificed herself, mm-hmm. for him. Like it's linked that way through the mom's sister, the sister,
right?
Because Petunia is there and the sister gave her life, then it's all linked through that way.
So does that kind of add to the power of the protection because of how Harry's mom died and how,
so
he
had like a protection
genetics relates to
her dying,
aunt.
Put a protection on him, and yeah. I think Dumbledore just expanded that.
Mm-hmm. Like, hey, that's a good idea.
Yeah, let's take some of that and pull it out and put it around the whole house.
Gotcha.
As long as the family is together, as long as his mother's sister is there and he's with his family, he'll have this protection.
So feel free to call me crazy.
You crazy.
And feel free to either expound on what I'm about to say or just shoot me down. But
okay.
You're like, oh, shoot you down. I'm happy to do that anytime. Anytime you need me, I'm your girl. I felt a lot of empathy for the Dursleys in this chapter.
Yeah.
I know they've been terrible. Just hear me out.
Yeah, okay.
But
waiting.
Being uprooted from their family home, mm-hmm. with the threat of being hunted down and tortured by the Dark Lord, I felt a bit for them.
Yeah, it's definitely not an ideal situation. And then add the fact that they don't really understand. Like, they've been told this, but they don't really understand. They don't understand how much of a threat this is. That's why, they, you know, he's talking about he kept changing his mind and packing and repacking, and I'm going to go. No, we're not going to go. I'm going to go. No, we're not going to go.
It seems like really the only one who understands the magnitude of the situation that they're in is Dudley.
Yeah, and I don't know if he did the whole time or as soon as Harry mentioned the Dementors, it like, mm-hmm. all clicked,
yes.
for him. He was like, oh, that?
That's, like
that's what's coming for
that's
us?
That's like a
trigger. Oh, we gotta go.
Yeah, that's like a trigger for him. And maybe not only that's what's coming for us, but the
worse than
the
that.
Guy who bosses them around,
yes.
and tells those Dementors what to do. There's somebody worse than that out there.
Because he
who
seemed to
could
not even
come for us.
Know that there were more. He's like, there's more of those things?
Yeah.
He's like, yes, than the two that we saw last summer. Yes, there's more than that.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, that I don't know that he really understood until that moment. I feel like that made everything click for him.
Well, this chapter had a lot of tension, a lot of emotion, and like I said, without any magic and without really any action either. It really seems like this chapter was used to prepare us for what's coming forward, the darkness and the danger that's ahead in mm-hmm. our journey. And the atmosphere in this chapter, like I said, super awkward, super tense. The Dursleys are preparing to go into hiding. And we're going to meet some other members of the Order of the Phoenix that'll be going with them. We'll talk about them in a second. But despite the fact that we do see some emotional growth from Aunt Petunia in this chapter, the tiniest microdose.
Okay. I will go with microdose. I can get on board with microdose.
But a ton of emotional growth from Dudley. Vernon just stays the same hostile jerk, super dismissive of Harry, convinced that the danger is either exaggerated or somehow Harry's fault. So my question to you is, as a writer, is it important that all characters have to grow or change in some way? Or is it okay to have certain characters that are just very flat across the entirety of their existence?
So, I mean, it's going to depend on the level of, like, how important they are to the story. I mean, the guy who works at the coffee shop, he doesn't need to change.
I want to see his emotional arc.
You're going to see him
of the barista
seven times in the whole series, and he's going to stay the same. This question totally reminded me of, there's a very, very popular book out right now, fantasy book, and there was a side character in it that everyone absolutely loved, and she killed him off. And her explanation,
the author killed the character off.
Okay. And her explanation, everybody's like, why did you kill him? Why'd you kill him? And she's like, he had nowhere to go. This was his purpose. He was basically perfect, and we didn't need to. He had nowhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
So she kind of had, like, right or wrong, this rule in her head that if the character can't grow anymore, then we don't need to continue his story.
Interesting.
He can be sacrificed. If you needed to kill somebody in a big battle scene, you're killing the one that doesn't really have any emotional growth left.
I can understand that.
Which is kind of sad. I'm like, hey, you're perfect. Let's kill you. But
there's, like you said, there's no more stories to tell.
To tell for him. Yeah.
For that person. Like they've reached the ceiling of what's possible for mm-hmm. their character.
And that was one of the things that made him so endearing, though, because everybody was kind of split and divided and, oh, that side's bad and this side's good. And he was kind of like, I can see the merit in both. And he kind of bridged the gap and was, like she was saying, kind of the perfect character, which meant he had to go. As far as this scene, I don't know. I was actually a little disappointed. I know Dudley's been this, like, just giant lump the majority of the time. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. His dialogue in here was, like, Harry said he reminded me of Grop. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, he really does. But I didn't feel like he needed to. I mean, he's not totally stupid. He ran, like, a little gang of thugs who beat up people and, like, and took their bikes and whatever. I don't know. I felt like this wasn't enough for Dudley. I felt he didn't have to be intellectual, but he could, like, had a complete sentence.
He had some moments in there for me.
Maybe it's because I listened to the audiobook. So the person who read him
mm-hmm.
made him sound really dumb.
Interesting.
But I could see the difference there. Now that you said that, I'm like, well, you know what? He did have complete sentences, but the way they were delivered, or not. Well, yeah,
there's a few that, like, specific ones that I've got in my notes. I'm going to reference here in just a second. But it really, the character, like you said, with the biggest change in demeanor is Dudley, and it's very unexpected and kind of out of nowhere. Dudley shows a lot of love for Harry in this chapter. Like, whatever his version of love mm-hmm. is. Is this mainly just because of Dudley's interactions with the Dementors? Is that, that has given him this insight into how serious things are that maybe Vernon and Petunia don't have?
So we do see that Terry thinks, remember the teacup that got left at his door?
Yes.
So somebody was leaving him tea.
Yes.
And he thought it was a booby trap. Mm-hmm. And now he thinks maybe it was Dudley. We kind of get that moment mm-hmm. to try and show us that maybe it wasn't just this instant. I mean, I think that mentioning the Dementors made the threat real for Dudley, but maybe he was trying to be nicer to Harry for a while, and Harry just didn't notice because Dudley doesn't really know how to be nice. But mm-hmm.
Or Harry wouldn't even possibly think to look for that.
To look for it, yeah, or to interpret it that way. Like, there's a teacup. He figured it was a booby trap, mm-hmm. not a peace offering or something nice.
Well, when somebody's treated you one way for your entire life, mm-hmm. you know, it's hard to just one day flip a switch.
Yeah, or to see the possibility.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like J.K. Rowling was trying to make us think this by the teacup and the mention of the teacup and all that he has maybe been trying to be nicer to Harry.
I kind of think that if we could get Vernon and Petunia in the same room with some Dementors, that maybe we could get them to start acting like personable humans. Because that's what it took literally for Dudley to have the soul sucked out of his life, sucked out of his body, or the potential of his soul being sucked out of his body for him to show any kind of humanity. So maybe we just need to, you know, put Vernon and Petunia in a room with Dementors for a few minutes. And
yeah.
I understand now. I'm so sorry.
Well, see, like, you're afraid of this little witch and wizard who came to escort you.
Yeah.
But you're not afraid of the actual, because you don't even know what the
real
threat
is. Yeah, you're afraid
is.
Of, like, some envelopes flying around your house.
A talking pocket watch. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't, you're...
You got... Dudley's like, guys, prepared. You don't understand.
You're not even prepared.
There was a moment in there where Vernon's like, well, because apparently he's been going back and forth about, well, I'm going. No, I'm not going. I'm staying. And Dudley's like, I'm going.
I'm going to go with him.
I'm going with these two wizards. I'm not staying here. You guys don't understand what's out there. It's like when we were in Chicago and that mega bus that we were taking, which never again. God, never again. The air wasn't working on it, and it's a double-decker bus, and we were in the bottom. We were on the bottom level, and we're like, oh, man, it's a little warm, but, like,
but
you know,
fine.
once we get on the highway.
Get the door closed,
yeah,
you know.
The compressor will start to warm up, and we'll get
some air.
Yeah, I
just figured
here.
It wasn't even running. Like, you know, we're still loading. They don't have the engine running yet.
And people came from upstairs and acted like they had just walked through the fires of Hades. And they're like, you don't know what it's like up there.
They were disheveled, yes. Soaked in sweat. Like, they looked like they had...
Babies were crying. There was...
I don't understand. Like, we were fine.
Yeah,
it's
a little uncomfortable.
I was probably completely comfortable because I'm kind of cold all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
I was like, this is nice, guys.
That's kind of what Dudley reminds. Like, you guys don't know what it's like up there.
You don't know.
He's been up to the top
of
the mega bus. He's been up there.
Uh-huh.
And he knows what it's like. So he needs to relay that to his parents. So does Dudley's change of heart, and I don't know if this is me overthinking it, does his change of heart and his ability to have a change of heart have even the slightest bit to do with his age? Because when you're a teenager, you still have the majority of your life ahead of you. Most people don't, like, quote unquote, find themselves or figure out who they are until much older.
Mm-hmm.
Is it just too late for Vernon and Petunia to grow as people? Have they just been who they are for so long that they have no hope of changing?
I think it's a little of that and a little of the fact that they're adults and Harry's a child, and adults don't like to admit they're wrong mm-hmm. to children. Like, I feel like it's a pride thing too. Like,
Especially one that they never wanted in the first place.
Mm-hmm. And they saw as a complete inconvenience and mm-hmm. how dare you come in and disrupt our lives. We're not going to, we can't make that flip to, okay, well, thanks for thinking of us and keeping us safe. And we're going to go. We don't want to go, but we'll go because that's what's best. Like, they just can't.
Yeah, I was just kind of wondering. I know, you know, the main reason for Dudley's change is that he's seen what dark magic can do. Mm-hmm. But it just kind of popped out in my head that maybe he is still growing. He's still not yet the person that he's going to be for the rest of his life. And there's still things that can change. You see a lot of people when they go to college. And they're, maybe for the first time, they're exposed to people that don't look like them mm-hmm. and don't talk like them and don't pray like them.
Yeah, they grew up in their little bubble.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden they're outside of their bubble.
Yes. Oh, there's a whole another world out here that mm-hmm. I didn't really know about or get to experience.
Yeah. I still feel like Dudley's a little young. You know, when you're starting to be a teenager, you're stubborn and you know everything and you're right all the time. Mm-hmm. It isn't until your 20s more that you kind of are like, oh, this is the world. Like, you're more yeah. likely to change upper teens, lower 20s. That's when you kind of evolve and find yourself,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, yeah.
So I still feel like Dudley's a little young, that he's probably just maybe coming out yeah. of that stubborn, I know everything and I'm always right and I'm invincible and...
The world doesn't just revolve around me.
Yeah. So I don't know that he's there yet, but I think he's starting to.
Gotcha. There's, like I said, there are a couple of Dudley quotes that stood out to me that I wanted to ask you about. The first one is when Dudley says to Harry, "You saved my life." And Dudley says this toward the end of their interaction. Why is that moment, given their history, so powerful? And what does it suggest about how Dudley sees the world now?
So I think, again, like we were talking about, you know, when you're growing up in your home with your parents, you just kind of feed off of them and whatever they say is correct is uh-huh. correct.
Yes.
So his parents didn't really view that incident as Harry saving Dudley's life. And they weren't there, but they didn't really view it. It was him putting him in danger. Yeah. Like, you wouldn't have been in danger if you weren't there, if it wasn't your world and
yeah,
your
what
problem
have you done to my boy?
And your lot. Yeah. What did you do? This is all your fault. The fact that Dudley's kind of stepping away from that train of thought and having his own train of thought. Yes, he was there, so it does play out differently for him. He knows that those monsters came and that, you know, he knows exactly what happened. But to stray from his parents' very strong line of thinking, like I said, it's kind of like the first step of him having his own mind.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. I mean, it's really Dudley's experience with the Dementors and how eye-opening it was. It really reminded me of, like, in The Matrix, when Neo takes, like, you can take the blue pill.
Or the red pill.
Or the red pill. And the red pill, you stay in Wonderland and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. You go to blue pill and you forget any of this ever happened. And
he's
go
like,
back.
I don't want any pill. Can I just go?
By the way, me totally. I'm taking the blue pill. Put me back in my
happy
fake
bubble,
my fake world, my fake simulation. I don't want to know about robot aliens like using my body for fuel or anything like that. I just want to forget all about it. But Neo takes the red pill and it allows him to see the truth about the reality he was living in and escape that simulated world. Dudley can't unring that bell after what's happened to him.
I don't think he wants more, though.
No, definitely. But I'm just saying he can't unsee what he saw. He can't unfeel what he felt. And he can't undo what happened to him. He is the only member of the Dursleys that understand how high the stakes are here.
It's almost like we need a... not a like a spin-off novella, but just maybe like a spin-off chapter of Dudley dealing with the like the post-traumatic stress of the event. Like, we don't know. He absolutely did not just go, okay, guess it's fine now, mm-hmm. and go back to his regular life. I'm sure he had nightmares. I'm sure there's a lot of change. Wonder his whole demeanor. Like, I'm kind of curious now.
I wonder if the wizarding world could provide, like, counseling for muggles who have had interactions.
They probably just take the memory out.
Yeah.
Like, if you know, if anybody had been aware, I don't know that Dudley would have been like, hey, man, I'm having these nightmares. What should I do?
I'm just going to give you a little magical lobotomy here.
Hold on. Let me just pull that memory right out. You won't even remember it happened. It'll be great. But, yeah, I don't know.
But kind of thinking about what we said a couple minutes ago, Dudley understands how high the stakes are here because, I know those Dementors are bad. There's more of them, and there's somebody... There's people worse than them that actually boss them around. You know, that person or those people have to be 100 times worse. So I'm getting out of here. Mm-hmm. I know how serious this is. The other quote from Dudley that stood out to me was, why isn't he coming too? Referring to Harry. Mm-hmm. And wondering why Harry isn't going on the trip with the rest of the family. So why is it significant that Dudley and not Vernon, not Petunia, is the one that says this?
Vernon and Petunia would never say it. I just never would.
But is there anything like special about Dudley? I guess it just reinforces the fact that he has changed his feelings toward Harry.
Well, also, I think
he's the only member of the Dursleys that can change still.
He feels safer with Harry there, I'm sure. Like, maybe the tea wasn't like, hey, let's be buddies. Maybe the tea is just like, oh, thank God you're here. Mm-hmm. Because you saved me before. I've seen what you can do. You know, and the whole wizarding world thinks Harry's this, like, all-powerful wizard and the only one who can keep Voldemort at bay. I'm sure some of that has... you know, kind of reached Dudley, and he would be like, oh yeah, I totally believe that because these monsters came and it was the worst thing that I had ever experienced in my life. And Harry just went boom and made him go away. Like it probably seemed really easy on the outside. I mean, the fact that he can do the full Patronus is a big deal. Mm-hmm. Not everybody can do that, but from the outside, Dudley was just like, oh yeah, he just waved his wand and made those guys go away, and it was great. Like, would like to have him here so he could do that again,
which is very different because for so many years Dudley never wanted Harry around. So we've talked about Dudley and Vernon's goodbyes. Dudley very much a 180 degree change. Vernon just being Vernon.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. Okay, so earlier we were talking about character arcs. I kind of feel sorry for Vernon here because he's, you know, the dad, the man of the house, and he would normally think, you know, it's my job to take care of my family, and he can't. This is a threat that he cannot deal with.
Very powerless here.
Yeah, and the only thing he can do is, like, admit that he can't do anything and run away. Mm-hmm. And I just can see how that would be hard for him. Mm-hmm. So I know we don't feel like we're seeing any growth from him because it's kind of feels like the same routine, but I also still kind of feel for him here because he can't deal with it.
Okay, well, a few minutes ago when I said that I felt some empathy for the family, you kind of shot me down, and now it kind of seems like you want to not only hop on the train that I'm driving, but you want to kick me out of the conductor's seat.
No, I mean, they still are awful.
It's okay to admit when you're wrong, Jess.
I'm still saying they're awful.
And we've been married for 22
and you,
years,
you
and you never admitted once that you were wrong.
For the other two, and I was like, but what about the third one? Like, you didn't include him in yours. So, I'm just going to give him a little. Just a little sympathy. Not much.
Okay, just a...
Not even sympathy. I just understand why it would be hard for him.
Okay, so that's empathy.
Empathy, not sympathy.
You'll get one of the pathies, but
I will
sympathy.
Give empathy, but I will not give sympathy.
Let's look at Petunia's goodbye, because I think hers had a lot going on under the surface. She almost says something meaningful to Harry. I was hoping for maybe an acknowledgement of their shared loss of Lily. Mm-hmm. That would have been something that they could have had a moment over. But Petunia ultimately turns away in silence. And to me, this missed moment was so powerful that it didn't happen. It was a powerful moment because of what could have happened but didn't. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily in a positive or negative way, but it just really underscores the tragedy of
the entire situation.
Yeah, it could have been.
She lost her sister years ago. But even before that, they kind of fell out because Lily went to the magic school. Mm-hmm. Lily this, Lily that, which happens so often with siblings, not with a magic school, but one gets something or is good at something. And
one gets a scholarship to a big school.
All about them and supporting that. She says, you know, my parents were so proud.
It might have been a touching or bonding moment for Harry and Petunia, and it really puts an emphasis on Petunia's lifelong refusal to fully confront her past. Mm-hmm. Did you get the same feeling from Petunia's interaction there, or am I digging too deep here?
No, it's just different because I already knew she wasn't going to say it, but I'm excited for you because you were on that precipice of...
I guess I'm wondering, sorry to
interrupt. Is it going to happen or isn't it going to happen?
Yeah. I guess I'm just wondering, that missed moment I think is huge. Am I, overselling what could have been part of that moment?
No, it's huge for the emotional journey. I don't think it has a huge impact on the rest of the story.
Because I was really on the, come on, come
but
on.
But for your emotional...
Say something. Say, show some humanity. Doggone it.
Please.
Please.
Just do something.
And then if you show just the tiniest bit of whatever, I don't even want to call it love, but the tiniest bit of whatever feeling toward
basic
Harry,
humanity.
Basic humanity. Just
can
the
we
bare,
call it that?
The bare minimum. Then maybe that rubs off on Vernon a little bit.
Don't go and get yourself killed like my sister did. Like, it literally could be kind of snarky, but just don't go and get yourself killed. Shows a little bit of, I care whether or not you live or die.
Right.
Which she didn't bother to do.
So what do you think that the author, J.K. Rowling, is suggesting with how she uses the Dursleys in this chapter? Is she saying that through the use of Dudley that change is always possible, or is she more so telling us that some people are simply unwilling to change?
I kind of feel like it's the Goldilocks and the Three Bears here. Like, she used Vernon to say nothing, no change at all, and some people can change a little bit inside, but they just can't say it. And then some people
are just right,
can say it a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we got to just right, but
we're on the path.
You're not a waste of space. You know,
I don't want you to die. I want you to come with us. You saved my life. Here's some tea. So you think it's more so
we're showing every
We want to give you every
the broad spectrum
of how you react to things. Do we need to, or do you want to talk much about who's going to be protecting the Dursleys? Daedalus Diggle and Hestia Jones?
No, they just pop in, do their thing, and pop out.
Okay.
I don't think we need to worry about them.
There is one little thing I wanted to talk about with them, and it's really the notable difference that I saw between Daedalus and Hestia that I thought was worth mentioning. Daedalus is super cheerful and enthusiastic about the assignment.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a an Arthur Weasley type. You know, look at this, come into the room. Oh, look, look at that television over there. Oh, it's, and you control it with this little box here that.
I'm assuming you know how to drive.
While Hestia is more serious and clearly disapproves of the Dursleys' treatment
behavior
of Harry. So my question is, do you think more wizards and witches are on the Daedalus side of the personality fence when it comes to muggles or Hestia's?
I think it's kind of split, almost like right down the middle. I think that's part of the issue.
If you had to pick, if you had to pick which side was 55%?
I think more the negative.
You think so?
Yeah. Okay. At this point in time.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's a little more the negative.
I mean, if you use it as a mirror for how people in the muggle world treat each other.
Uh-huh.
You and I were just talking about this a couple hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly believe that more than 50% of the people in the world are inherently not good people. That I think that more than 50% of the world, and that's hard to say that somebody's not a good person. But maybe they're not a bad person, but just because you're not a bad person doesn't mean you're a good person either.
Well, what?
stick with me.
Okay,
the brain is
I'm
hopping.
Here for the ride.
The brain is just bouncing off the inside of my cranium.
We're all here for the ride.
I think that I would say this. More than half the people in the world are selfish.
Yes.
And they might not be actively trying to make the world a worse place or actively trying to get over on people, but they care way more about themselves than they do about each other.
Yes. And some do it because they're more of a bad person. And some do it more of, I think, like a defense mechanism.
Or survival.
A survival instinct of, you know, I have to look out for me. That
nobody else is going to do it.
Yeah, and I got to get it while I can, and mm-hmm. do this, and pull in like hoarding, but like I got to get what I can get when I can get it, and nobody else understands why I have to do it this way.
So if we use that
kind of like
mirror,
a defense mechanism,
if we use that as a mirror for the wizarding world. It makes sense that would be, you know, the split would be. Mm-hmm. Somewhere similar to that in the wizarding world
as well. And there too, it's like if the muggles knew about the wizards, we know it would go bad.
Yes.
You know, we know this.
Yeah, could you imagine like if we found out that there was like a secret
group of
society of powerful like
magical
we would be, you know,
Burning them at the stake?
Yeah, we would.
I mean, we have historical evidence of how this would go.
We would be militarizing. We would be, you know, trying to wipe them out before they could wipe us out.
Yes. So I feel like that's just going to be a natural defense for witches and wizards. Some few, yes, are like, oh, you know, the muggles are interesting. This is so fascinating. I love their way of life. Can't we all just get along? And the others are like, no. They would kill us. You don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to always kind of hate muggles.
We saw a lot of that.
Because of that.
We saw a lot of that during, post 9/11. When everybody would see anybody of Middle Eastern descent
mm-hmm.
get on a plane. And they would freak out. And it was so, so terribly wrong. And unfair to think that, but that's humanity. That's mm-hmm. what we're dealing with the billions of people that we have on this planet. Most people, I would say more than half, are like that. And it goes from, you know, pre 9/11, you might have been very, you know, interested, like, because I loved, like, religion class in college. I loved learning about Islam. I loved learning about Buddhism. I loved learning about Hinduism. I loved learning about all the different denominations of Christianity. I was like the Arthur Weasley. Like, this is so cool. This is so neat. This is so, like, you know, interesting and provocative. And then some people just see it as, that's not the religion that I believe in, so they're evil. They're wrong.
They're wrong. They're destroying what, yes. Like, it threatens their belief.
Right.
What?
Oh, your belief is in contradiction to mine.
So you're saying I'm wrong.
Yes.
I'm not wrong.
Yes. Even though those words never came out of their mouth, that's what you're saying by your belief. Your existence. Exactly.
And you were believing that.
Oh, I got kind of goosebumps there. That was really good. A really, really good point by you. Well done. That's why you're the best in the business. So this chapter wraps up with Harry all alone in the empty house, really reflecting on kind of the end of his childhood, mm-hmm. and the strange sense of closure that he feels now with that chapter of his life. And it made me think of an important line from the chapter where it said, magic was not enough to fix everything. And this line really gives us a support structure for the whole chapter. So what emotional or relational wounds does Harry have that remain untouched by magic?
You know, he grew up without his parents, without a loving family. Like, it's really a miracle that he
is
a decent person and not just incredibly bitter and spiteful.
It really is. He should be a product of his environment, which should just make him hate everybody and everything.
Isn't that the very first line? Vernon yells up the stairs, "Oi, you!" And Harry's like, oh, he's calling me. Mm-hmm. Like, not his name. You, boy.
Boy. And then when he takes more than 5 seconds to get to the stairs, "Oh, it took your time, didn't you?"
Yeah.
Just like, everything.
But
every
just the not
tiny
using a name is.
Micro interaction has been
denying
negative.
Him like an identity.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You're right. It's a miracle that Harry's a decent person. And he's flawed. We've seen it. You know, we've seen bad choices that he made. We've seen things that he's done, you know, as a more rageful response to things. He's, they don't care about me, then I'm going to go on my own. But that's part of being a person, working your way through
those.
And a teenager who's still trying to find themselves. That's part of growing up. And you're right. Miracle is the perfect word to sum up what Harry has been through and how he has somehow come out the other side as a decent human being.
So the one part of the chapter that you didn't mention that stuck with me was when Vernon was saying, "I'm not going," and Harry was trying to convince them again, and he said, "You don't understand. They will take you. They will torture you. Or they will kill you, or they will keep you in hopes that I will come and try and rescue you."
Right.
And then, like, just drops that and leaves it right there. And
Vernon kind of goes, almost like, would you? Would you come rescue us? Like, almost like, kind of like, I don't know if you would or not.
Yeah. That put, like, everything.
If we were
in
need of rescue, would you care enough about it based on, like, how we've treated you? Mm-hmm.
I just feel like that put everything in perspective,
yeah,
for Vernon.
That's a good point.
With, oh, and just like, I could just see the scenes flashing back through his mind all the times that he was mean to Harry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why would why would he come
rescue
us?
I've given you no reason to give a care about me because of how I've treated you. So, he does. He kind of washes over the realization, washes over Vernon very quickly. Of he had no reason to come and rescue me. Like, if I was being tortured. Absolutely not.
Do you think he would?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
He absolutely would.
And I don't even know if it's the hero thing, but I feel like...
He does have a bit of a hero complex. We know that.
The guilt of, well, they wouldn't be in this mess if it wasn't for me, would make him do something.
And Harry, despite being flawed like all of us, is an inherently good person. I tell you all the time about my relatives that hate me. Mm-hmm. They hate me with a passion because of my political beliefs. Not because of anything I've ever done to them. Not because of anything I've ever said, but just because I believe my ideology is different than theirs. They hate me. There are some that hate me. Me, who's a delight.
Delight.
Everybody loves me. But there's some that hate
me. Except for those people who gave us less than 3 stars. Which I'll deal with. Don't worry.
Yeah, Jess is on to you. She's got your IP address.
Hey, we need to talk.
She's coming. She's just going to come like smacking her like hands together at your door. And
that reminds me of
toothpick in her mouth.
The episode.
I heard you've been saying some things on the internet, huh?
The episode of The Big Bang when the boys get their online gaming stuff stolen. Uh-huh. Hacked.
Like World of Warcraft
and
gear stuff.
Penny's like, I'll take care of it.
Yeah, they go to the guy's door. It's like 3 or 4 of them. And the guy says, no, I'm not giving it back. So they have to go get Penny to.
Well, the car breaks down all the way back. And Penny has to go get them. And she's like, why are you all out here? And they explain it. And he's like, did you get your stuff back? No. And she's just like, all right, you turn.
Well, she's from the Midwest.
Yeah, she says, I'll show you how we handle it in Nebraska.
That's right. That's right. You're from the Midwest. You don't. You're in the Show Me State. You know.
I'll show you.
Yeah, I'm gonna show you.
I'll show you.
Good stuff. Good stuff. You're the best. You're just the best. You're podcaster of the year in my book. I don't know.
I took you off track. I took you back to the middle. I'm sorry.
I love it. I don't even remember what we're talking about, but I'm having a lot of fun.
I think you were wrapping it up. Harry was standing alone.
Yeah.
In the room, in the house.
Well, I mean, my final thoughts are, like I said, is that there was no magic. There's even less action in this chapter, but I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. The chapter kind of quietly blends tension and growth and regret and kind of cements the height of the stakes of this final book in the saga.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Again, I don't know if I'm digging too deep here, but for a lot of people, this would be kind of just a flyover chapter, skippable chapter. But for me, I think it really is good writing and cements how big the stakes are going forward.
Yeah, we're kind of setting the mood and laying out the stakes.
Yeah.
And saying goodbye to the Dursleys at the same time. Using that as the scene to set the mood 100%. And raise the stakes.
100%. Anything else you want to say about chapter 3? All right. I am going to give a shout out to a new listener. You're already aware of this new listener because I've shared the emails with you. It's going to be a while into her journey that she'll hear this, but I will send her an email and let her know the shout out will be on this episode so she can maybe fast forward to the end and at least hear the...
No, you can't do that.
No, I think...
You got to go in order.
Well, she can come and hear her shout out and then go
back.
There is a
woman who comes into the library, she like requests a bunch of books, puts them on hold, and she will come in, sit down, pull all the books off the hold shelf, and go right to the last chapter and read the last chapter and decide whether or not she wants to read the book. And I'm like, you are a monster.
That's sociopathic behavior.
And she'll come to us, I don't want these.
You're a monster.
I don't want these, but I'm going to take these. And I'm like, huh? What did you just do?
That's Jess.
I won't. The girls make fun of me because I won't even stop a book if I hate it. Like, I still have to finish the book and see how it ends, see if it all comes together.
You've never stopped a book? I think we've talked about this, haven't we?
Yeah, no, I can't. I didn't even stop the series.
Or like, maybe it was a question I gave for you because I've written some questions for your...
For the other podcast,
For the Book Cave podcast, which is Jess's podcast with some other members of the Inner Circle here. And they talk about... it is more young adult to adult themed on that podcast. Definitely
Jennifer reads adult books.
Definitely above the PG rating that this show has, so listen with care. But the Book Cave podcast is available on all podcast platforms, too. You guys have had 22 or 23 episodes.
22.
And you highlight recent reads, and you highlight a specific book for each episode.
Yeah, we discuss what we've read. We do one every month. We discuss what we've read that month with no spoilers. Just, hey, I read this book, and it was about this, and it was good, or it was not. And then in the second half, we have all read the same book that month, and we do like a deep dive into it, and that one has all the spoilers. So, but we warn you.
Yeah, available on all podcast platforms. Check it out. But like I said, this email comes from Candace right here in St. Louis.
Sorry for stealing your spotlight there, Candace.
That's all right.
This was her moment.
She's cool.
She knows we can't stay on topic, or at least she will by the time she gets here.
Find out. Candace discovered the podcast when she saw a cool van with some cool stickers on it.
What?
Yeah, that just happened to be my ride. And one of the stickers was for our podcast. And as a self-proclaimed Potterhead, she immediately found us on Apple. She loves our setup here on the show, and that you're the person who knows these books inside and out, and I'm experiencing them for the first time. She loves that dynamic there. She loves the little nuances in our podcast, like how we utilize the background music, how we have a different theme for each book. And she was listening to an episode from 2018 where I mentioned that we would not only be writing a book, I don't even remember what it was about.
She said we were writing a book, was writing a book, because we did talk about my writing.
Well, somebody was writing a book, and it was going to be out in 2025, and people would check their local bookstores.
Whoops.
Update, there's no book.
There's no book.
And that I made the prediction on that episode back in 2018 that no bookstores would even exist and that Amazon would rule the world. So
we're getting close.
We're getting there.
There's no bookstores in North County.
Hey, we've almost accomplished our goal of killing bookstores.
There's a couple more in St. Louis, but almost.
We love bookstores. We want them to thrive forever.
On the book writing update, my book is done and is out for query with agents. So if there's any agents out there listening.
Yep. And update, I also have not read it.
No, Jess, Dan will never ever read it,
even when it's been released, and I'll go to Target to like buy a copy.
I'll just take it from
him. Slap it out of my hand.
I'll let you buy it. I just will take it afterwards.
Candace was wondering what happens to the show after we finish book 7.
I've been wondering that, although we've got a while.
She asked, do we go on to Cursed Child? Do we do shows on any of the Fantastic Beasts movies? That might be fun, like bonus podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Candace also finds herself yelling out answers to questions that I ask you.
Well, I hope she approves of my answers. Otherwise, I'm getting yelled
She's
at,
like,
too.
I know it. Ooh, pick me.
Pick me. She wants to, if she would like to apply to be our intern, because we always say,
we're always accepting. We're always accepting applications for interns, yeah. Go get us Slurpees and, you know, look up notes.
Play with the dogs
take the dogs for a walk while we're trying to podcast. I'm not sure if Candace is a teacher or a counselor or a principal, but she said every year at her school, so Candace, let us know, they celebrate the first day of school at Hogwarts as close to September 1st as they can. And she sent some awesome photos of her and her colleagues. You all look amazing representing your respective houses. Candace is sad that she's not listening in real time with us, but she said that she was elated that she found us.
Well, it's a nice long holiday weekend. She's got plenty of time to catch up.
And she said she can't wait to see how the podcast evolves over the years. When Jane started listening, she like caught up in like a weekend. So
yeah. Well, that was a while ago. So there is a lot more content
now.
Yeah,
but still, but she had like four books
to read.
Yeah, she absorbed like four books worth of content in a weekend, so it's possible. Candace, thank you so much for the email. She sent it to us, broomsticks.butterbeer@gmail.com, which you can as well. It really made our day. It really made our week. We always love when people reach out, so feel free to reach out to us for anything in the future. Maybe we'll be hosting a trivia event in St. Louis sometime, somewhere.
Somewhere.
And we'll get to meet up with you. And your swag that I have promised will be in the mail this week. I got a swag bag coming to you, Broomsticks and Butterbeer.
You swag bag. Send it by Uber.
To thank you. Yeah, since we're in town here, I might just run it over your house. If you see a weird dude on your porch, that's probably me.
Well, she'll recognize the van.
Well, I'm going to park it down the street
to make it creepier.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
So
have fun with that.
You got a lot of swag coming your way. Because we love you so much. We appreciate you. So we hope you enjoy it. And don't be a stranger. We ready? We done?
We done.
Here? All right. Like I said, broomsticks.butterbeer@gmail.com. Give us a shout out like Candace did with questions, comments, whatever you feel like. And we will give you a shout out here on the air. Follow us on all our social media platforms. We're on X at BroomsticksB. BroomsticksB podcast on Instagram. BroomsticksB on Blue Sky. We are on Facebook as well. You can follow us and send us messages on there. So we're very easy to get a hold of. And if you feel so inclined, leave us a nice review on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. If you just want to leave stars, that's fine. If you want to go the extra mile and leave a prose review and some nice words, that helps even more with our algorithm and how it pops up for people. So the more wordy reviews that you have, that helps up the visibility of the podcast. So we would really appreciate if you guys are so inclined that you could do that. Until next time, Jessica, be a wizard, be a witch, be a muggle, be a squib, but don't be a jerk.
Or a git.
Oh, I forgot to shout out Inner Circle, Jennifer, Catherine, Amelia, Jane, Ronnie, Anastasia, Kelly, Olivia, Jenny, and Emma. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Gather around, wizards. It's time to explore. A world full of magic. We're opening the door. With Dan and Jessica, we're here for the ride. On Broomsticks and Butterbeer, come along for the glide. Chapter by chapter, we're diving so deep through Hogwarts halls where the secrets creep. From the Sorting Hat to the Wizarding fights, potions and spells and those magical nights. With our cups full of butterbeer, we analyze the lore, the friendships that blossom, the battles and more. Every word written we take with delight, bringing Harry's world back into the light. Broomsticks and butterbeer, let the magic flow. Join the discussion, there's so much to know. With Dan and Jessica, let your spirit fly. In the wizarding world, we'll always reply. From the Quidditch games to the dark magic's call, we'll take on each chapter, seeing how they enthrall. Hermione's wisdom, Ron's loyal fight, we'll discuss every twist, make the dark turn bright. With an open heart and a curious mind, we'll unlock the secrets that are waiting to find. So grab your broomstick and settle in tight. It's time for the journey we're starting tonight. Broomsticks and butterbeer, let the magic flow. Join the discussion, there's so much to know. With Dan and Jessica, let your spirit fly. In the wizarding world, we'll always reply. Through the pages we wander side by side. In every adventure, we take it in stride. The laughter and lessons, the love and the pain. With each chapter shared, we'll never be the same. Let's raise our glasses to the stories we share. In the world of Potter, there's magic everywhere. From Diagon Alley to the Forbidden Forest, exploring this universe, we're never the worst. Every twist and turn, oh, it makes us feel the power of friendship, that's the real deal. So don't miss a moment, let's savor the fun. With broomsticks and butterbeer, the magic's just begun. Oh, broomsticks and butterbeer, let the magic flow. Join the discussion.
reply. So here's to the chapters, both old and new. With every spell cast, a world that feels true. On broomsticks and butterbeer, we'll see you next time.